Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. CityServe is committed to stand with Israel. Did you know a single settlement 3 miles east of Gaza produces over half of Israel's produce? For life to ever return to normal, Israel's breadbasket has to be restored. Please help now. Visit cityserve.us/LLFF. That's cityserve.us/LLFF. Any donation will make all the difference. Together, let's bring hope and healing to Israel.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. And if you like what you hear on today's broadcast, tell a friend and join us on social media for more content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. And now let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Well, thanks, Jim. I'm Zach Clinton, and I have a very special guest to share with you all today. Her name is Eden Gordon Hill. She's a communication specialist and a public relations expert with a Christian heart to serve others. Eden is plugged in with her finger on the pulse of today's fast-paced culture that encompasses so much of what millennials and Gen Z think and do. Her advice to young adults and new couples starting families and careers, even middle-aged singles looking for love: slow down, put those phones away, and dig into your Bible. Eden has done so much with her career while remaining true to her faith. She even served within the Trump administration in the Office of Personnel Management. But then she had an Esther moment that led her to realize it's not what you do, it's who you are because of whose you are. This conversation, my friends, was such a delight. I hope it will inspire you to live a life of significance as much as it did for me. There's a lot to cover. Thank you all for leaning in with me. Let's go there now. Miss Eden, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely, Zach. It's a pleasure to be here with you and your amazing audience. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, first and foremost, I'm grateful that we have this opportunity just to sit down and just to glean from your wealth of wisdom and knowledge and experience, but also to hear about all the amazing things that God is continuing to do in and throughout your life and your leadership. Let me say up front, I just got done reading your resume. I mean, very, very impressive. Your bio talks all about how you worked in the Trump White House as senior advisor of communications at the Office of Personnel and Management, to working and contributing with Fox, Turning Point USA. Mm-hmm. God has clearly entrusted you with some incredible opportunities. Eden, just up front, I'd love to just hear more of some of the highlights that you've experienced over the last several years, but also, what are some things that you're most excited about in the days ahead as well?
Well, I'll tell you some of the highlights. So you gave a snapshot to this amazing audience, but some of the highlights have been actually taking my faith and putting it to action. And I ran for elected office from the great state of North Carolina. I run my own LLC, and I also have a radio show in Washington, D.C. that focuses on God, country, and family. So those are three things that I can apply to your audience and say, this is ways for us as Christians, the public square, to be able to stand up, use our voices, and basically take that risk of conviction.
It's so good. I'm so grateful that you are utilizing your voice. And as you mentioned, recently ran for North Carolina State Legislator. I know you're someone who really places principles over preferences. I saw in your bio that the values instilled in you as a child by your grandfather and father are the ideals you continually live by today. Eden, what was it, though, that really prompted you to put yourself out there so far and jump headfirst into the public eye and public square?
I was tired of being lied to. I was tired of being lied to by those who get elected to the office, and then constituency says, oh, wait a second, we put you there, but you don't return our calls. You don't open your office doors to us, and you have all of these people at your doorstep, but yet you weren't responding to us. I am a veteran spouse. My husband served in Iraq, and that was one of the main things. I saw our veterans being denied absolute top-notch care that the Trump administration had provided to them. And I said, we at the local and state level have the ability to fight for our veterans, not just at the federal level. And that was one of the biggest things. It was the faith, the Esther moment, and combating all the lies that were being told and combating those elected officials who were just collecting that paycheck, knowing that there's a constituency of people who are wanting to take care of our veterans, who are wanting to take care of our military families, and a community of people coming together to protect our kids, protect them in the wokeness indoctrination in the school. So many different things that have really come to the forefront since COVID really exposed all that darkness.
Man, you mentioned your Esther moment, right? That why not me moment, that for such a time as this moment. And I'm grateful again that you stepped up for such a time as this. And you mentioned military families. Obviously, you have a love and devotion to military services. You know, my dad is very close, near and dear to my heart. He's one of my best friends. My dad served in the military, all of my uncles, my grandfathers. And so the military means so much to me because it's really reminding me of the principle that freedom is not free. Eden, speak to your love for the military, and why is that something that's a pressing desire to reach those families for such a time as this?
Well, more than anything, our freedoms are not free. And the 9/11, post 9/11, the greatest generation, World War II, it's been forgotten about. It's not being taught in our schools anymore. So you have these future generations saying, well, what was that? What was that? Even with the Reagan movie coming out this coming week, many of these kids don't even know who Reagan was. Right. This was the greatest generation. And then my husband's generation, the post 9/11 generation, who served and watched dutifully, watched their service members die right next to them. The understanding of what fighting for one's country, that patriotism and that freedom, that is not being taught to our future generations. And that's why I'm wanting to stand up, one, against the woke indoctrination that's trying to take over our military bases, two, to re-educate and educate our next generations on what it is to serve, what it meant for Pearl Harbor, what it meant for 9/11. I mean, I get so passionate about it, but I get excited because I know when we go to those Veterans Day parades, when we go to those parades that celebrate and honor those men who have served, that's what our kids and our future generations need to understand. You come from a multi-generational family of understanding what it means to serve. That is being forgotten in many people, in many of the backyards of America. And that's what we need to reinstill in the hearts and minds. Gathering around that kitchen table sounds so old-fashioned, but there's something to that. Gathering around, sitting down together, throwing the cell phones in a basket, adding the Bible to the table, adding prayer to the table, and talking about our family that has gone before us. That's what America is about.
And today, you know, as we've talked a lot toward that Gen Z, that millennial population group, I would ask you, being a Christian leader in that PR space, you understanding a lot of the issues that they're up against for such a time as this, what do you think are 3 to 5 maybe of the top issues that these young adults are up against? But also, how can they not only become or grow an awareness to those issues, but actually begin to work against those issues and hopefully start to overcome them in the days ahead?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna give you a great resource for your audience. And Demi Tebow, she has a brand new book out. And we talked specifically to this. And I asked the top 3 to 5 things. But it all comes down to identity, the identity crisis. Our nation is in an identity crisis on many levels, from the political standpoint, the emotional, the spiritual implications of what is happening. There's an identity crisis, but there's also an identity crisis for these next generations. It's because, okay, we have grown up on our phones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, wait a second, that person didn't like my image? That person didn't like my video on TikTok or Instagram? Wait a second. But let me say this. Let me just give you an example. I was asked to be a guest host in addition to my radio show, in addition to everything else I do.
Yeah.
And they said, our audience doesn't like you because you are not talking about the times and everything that's happening in these peril times. Zach, I was talking about my faith.
Right.
I was talking about the Lord. I was talking about what we need to do to get evangelicals out to vote to change this country. But that wasn't enough for them. That is peril. We need to be talking about the faith implications. But the reason why I brought up that example is this. I could either have an identity crisis. Oh, wait a second. You don't like me? Okay, then I guess I'll just stop altogether. No. The devil is really on attack. And we need to say, all right, get behind me, Satan, because we've got a job to do and we've got to get out there. But here's the thing. When it comes to the identity of this next generation, get off your phones.
Yep.
Look into scripture. Whose are you? Whose are you? Not someone who's trying to tell you to be a boy instead of a girl. Whose are you? And the parents out there, we have an obligation to protect our kids from that. We have an obligation to take those phones away and tell them who they are.
Yeah, I think you've hit it on the head, right? We are in an identity crisis in culture and society today. And what you're really alluding to is that identity is not found in what you do. It's found in who you are because of whose you are. I was reading recently that Anxious Generation book. It's being widespread everywhere. It's a national bestseller right now. And it talks about the difference between play-based society and phone-based society and how those phones, like you said, are just causing this fear, this anxiety, this comparison-based culture built on perceived perfection. And our next generation, they're falling prey to it every single day. I mean, let's be honest. Those are moments where it's not just the next generation. It's the mom and dad out there listening as well. It's the older generation too. Phones, this addiction has filled into it. And honestly, a lot of people are falling again by the wayside to it. And so it's important to bring up. It's important to remind ourselves of, especially in the ever-changing times that we live in. But I think that's where we go back to the root and the anchor of God's word.
Yes.
Because ultimately, God's word, so many people believe it or see it as a misrepresentation that it's a rule book. It's not a rule book and it isn't limiting. At the end of the day, it's a guidebook as to how we can live and walk in the abundant life. Eden, speak to the importance of scripture and how some scriptures have specifically anchored you in your own seasons of transition in life.
Oh, scripture is so powerful. You know, for the audience who are tuning in, we all live a 24/7. We're always on. But how do we add scripture? And I have realized first thing in the morning, before anybody else gets up in the morning, I grab the coffee, I grab the Bible, and I sit down. And even if it's just for 5 minutes that I get to read scripture, it's when the moments of allowing God to talk to me, but also reminding me of whose I am and also helping me combat whatever is about and whatever's ahead of my day. Mm-hmm. And Psalms, go to the Psalms, go to Psalm 91. If you need comfort in the shadow of his wings, that's it. If you need to be reminded that we need to be salt and light, go to Matthew. Talk about bringing people to know the Lord. Go to Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God, to run the race of perseverance. And my goodness, if you are struggling to understand what it is to have a family and be in marriage and God-building community, go back to Genesis. Because he wants us to be in community. He wants us to be man and woman. He wants us to be married, to have families, to be adoptive families, to engage with families. I will say this to all of those out there who may not be able to have kids, who are in that part of the season of their lives. My husband and I, oh, and also for all the singles who are saying, when am I going to get married? I was 40, first time. Husband, first time, 53. Okay. You know, he always said, well, he was in high school. He was waiting for me to be born. So there you go. But my point in saying that is timing is everything. God's seasons are perfect. Absolutely perfect. We, and for all of those who want to have kids, we were not able to have kids. Okay. So we adopt every kid that walks. We get to be mentors. We get to love on kids. We get to be godparents. We get to love on our nieces and nephews and even the neighbor kids. Let's have a barbecue. There are so many different ways to be able to engage. And that is what I want to say to those who are in those seasons. You have those seasons of, what if I can't? Well, there's plenty of other options out there. There are so many kids out there that need to be loved.
That's so good, Eden. What I appreciate about that is you're reminding us that God's plan and his timing is perfect, even if it's not in our timing. A lot of us fall wayward to the trap of comparison, too, which is ultimately the thief of joy. We allow things like social media. We allow things like our phones and our devices to, in a sense, bring us to this place where we're trying to fit the needs or fit the pace of somebody else's life rather than God's pace for our own lives. And so centering ourselves back on the truth of Scripture, centering ourselves on the goodness and faithfulness of our God, and allowing him again to set the pace in us, living a life with a posture of surrender to that pace every single day. You know, as you mentioned, though, you said the word mentor, and I want to ask you this question, because a lot of our next generation, you see it all the time, I'm sure, in that PR space, everybody wants to be the next big thing, Eden. Everybody wants to be the next influencer, but they, in a sense, neglect what influence is truly all about. Yeah. Like living not just a life of success, but actually living a life of significance. Speak to the importance of understanding those things.
So let me just say this. Being a mentor and the influence of being a mentor can dramatically change a person's life. And it doesn't matter what age group you are in. I had my mentor when I was young, professional on Capitol Hill. She is now like a mother to me 30 years later. There's nothing like having a mentor, and there are so many different things that you can deem from them, the spiritual, the emotional, the career choices that they made. They are the true influencers, not all of your social Taylor Swifties and Travis Kelce's. No, those are not true influencers. The true influencers are those who humbly, quietly go and mentor kids after school, help them with their schoolwork. The ones that'll say, you know what, why don't you come over to my house for a cup of coffee and let's just talk. That is what a mentor and somebody who is really wanting to inspire and hold somebody accountable and help them on their journey and their next steps. That is what significance is. You and I both know looking at the phones is a major issue, and it's an online comparison piece, but there's also something bigger than that. It is, are we losing them away from the church? Are they no longer engaged in the Bible studies, the community studies? Are they afraid? Are they, it's the isolation thing. I saw the isolation thing, and that has not left. That isolation thing is now, we're too busy. And I'm going to cite this. Jenny Allen, I'm doing one of her Bible studies, Find Your People.
Yeah.
And she talks about, and this is for all age groups, find five friends in 5 miles. And I sat there and thought, I can do that. I'm outgoing. Right. I love people. And we just moved to this new area, and I'm sitting here thinking, but nobody in the neighborhood waves or even gives you eye contact. How am I going to do this? And it's amazing how God works. This is what we did. Found a church. Thanks to National Religious Broadcasters, one of the biggest pastors is now our pastor and has adopted us into their family. 5 people just in church alone. But my husband's also military. We have a military community. We invested. We went out. And then the other thing is, you know what? If you guys like to cook, cook. Have open home barbecues. Invite people over. Take barbecues. Take food to people's houses. Yes. They're going to love you after that.
That's right.
But that's my point. It removes that isolation. Whether you live in New York City or you live in a farm country, it removes that isolation piece, and it forces you to really engage and to move out of those zones so you're not so stuck. So the anxiety, the mental health, it dissipates.
That's right. That's right. what I love and I appreciate about what you're mentioning about the difference between success and significance. I think the first thing is just being able to recognize that we were never created to accept the glory in the first place. We were created to deflect that glory, right? We're so undeserving. It doesn't matter the platform, the pedestal, the position you may have in culture and society. We weren't made to accept those things. We were only made to deflect them. But as you're saying, with the people fuel aspect of life and just the significance that can have on our mental health and our well-being and our psychological well-being and flourishing and resilience, I mean, those things are all rooted in relationship. I remember reading a book by Justin Whitmell early, and I interviewed him on his book called Made for People. And he was, you know, talking about what you said in Genesis 2:18, the very first thing that God said was not good was for man to be alone. But he had this such a unique definition for the word loneliness. Because typically when we hear the word lonely, we think of like the hermit that doesn't come outside very often and doesn't talk to anyone. But he said how he defined lonely was someone who used to have friends, right? Before they got married, before they got the promotion, before they had kids. Yeah. And as you're saying, sometimes, as Jenny was talking about in her book, Find Your People, we just have to be intentional, right? We just have to invest in relationships. We have to take the initiative sometimes and not wait for other people to come to us. Like you did, go into church, finding that small group, making sure that you're putting in that intentional effort because it matters now more than ever. And that's where I kind of want to ask you, when it comes to the Christian PR space, you guys are obviously having such a profound impact in culture and society today, while at the same time, there's a lot of challenges. Mm-hmm. The censorship, the suppression by mainstream media, liberal social gatekeepers. Why is Christian PR, why is that space so important for such a time as this? And how are you guys planning to work and push against those mainstream media outlets for such a time moving forward?
Well, I'll speak on behalf of my LLC and my consulting. From the standpoint of Christian PR, it is needed more than ever because people are searching. You and I both know that. And the thing is, we have a legacy media that we're fighting against because they're going to do a very biased journalism. And I have said on my radio show at WMAL, I've said to my audience, we need to be listening and watching truth. Mm. And there are certain sources, but it's not legacy media. And that's where the Christian media component comes in. We have a platform. And yes, the weaponization of government and censorship, it is real. Right. And I have found it in my many years of being in the public relations space, whether it's representing Christian organizations or whether it's representing Christian individuals. And I have seen it in just the people I work with on a daily basis. And the thing is, you don't stop because you're getting censored. It's just like me guest hosting that national syndicated radio show. They basically kicked me off because of my faith. Okay. I keep moving forward and you don't stop. And we have the opportunity to be salt and light, whether it's in the Reagan film, on the screen, whether it's being on the radio show, being amongst all of those who are going to talk everything but God. No matter what space it is, this is our time because people are searching, people are hungry, and they are wanting to hear absolute truth, not a biased journalism.
Mm, it's so true. This is our time to step up and into this moment. And so who I really want you to speak to today is the individual out there who's been listening. You know, they've been encouraged by our conversation, but let's just be honest, they feel discouraged and disappointed in life. They feel deflated, almost to the point of feeling defeated.
I would say to remind them that they matter. Mm. I think people forget that. Why do I matter in this so-called thing called the world in this life? You know, my grandmother always said, and she had this magnet on her refrigerator, God doesn't make junk. And I know that sounds so simple, maybe so cliche, but we matter to him. Yeah. He made us because he wants to enjoy us and have a relationship with us until he returns and have us and enjoys forever. But for people to hear that you matter, and it's not a prideful thing, it is that you matter. Because people don't, I think there'd be more kindness in this world and more appreciation in this world if they realized that they mattered, that they mattered, that they mattered.
Eden Gordon Hill, my friend, thank you so much for your time, your willingness to join me today. And again, thank you for fighting on the front lines for that Christian PR space for such a time as this. Your voice matters more than you know. And we are so, so grateful for you, my friend. Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely, Zach. Many blessings to you and your audience.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, God's richest blessings to you all. Join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us or give us a call. You can call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. That's 800-526-8673. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Hey, if all the fruit and vegetables disappeared tomorrow, how would your family be affected? Ian Abasour, the agricultural community near Gaza, brutally attacked on October 7th, generates over half of Israel's vital produce. Families there desperately need your help to heal and recover. Please visit cityserve.us/LLFF. That's cityserve.us/LLFF. And take a moment and generously give what you can to bless Israel.